the Masters Provision of Suspension, and finally the briefing by the Department of Defense and the Military Veterans. These three issues, we have to deal with them very briefly because they have to be processed for tabling in the afternoon. So I will request the honorable members to be very brief in dealing with the repeal and the remuneration issues. Without any waste of time, I'll hand over to the person who will brief the committee about the briefing on the repeal of Black Administration.
Good morning. My name is Christine Silkstone. I'm a conduct advisor with the Portfolio Committee on the Constitutional Development. And sitting next to me is my colleague, Melanie Romano, who's the committee secretary. I'm just going to quickly brief you on the repeal of the Black Administration Act, Amendment of Certain Laws, Amendment Bill. So it's a very long title. Why do we need this legislation? Well, to amend the legislation, well, the Black Administration Act was repealed in 2005, except for sections 12, 20, and Schedule 3. And these three sections were kept because they allow traditional courts to continue to function legally. However, in the repeal of the Black Administration Act, Amendment of Certain Laws, Amendment of Act, they provided for a kind of sunset clause in which these sections would cease to operate once either at a given date or when legislation was passed that would replace, that would allow traditional courts to function. Unfortunately, the legislation allowing traditional courts to function has not been enacted yet, and so we've had to extend a given date, I think, three times, and this will be the fourth time. The last extension takes us to the end of this year, the 30th of December 2009. The traditional court bill, which was introduced in 2008, is intended to replace sections 12, 20, and Schedule 3. It was introduced, as I said, in 2008 in the third parliament. The committee then began to start processing the bill. They had public hearings. There were submissions. And it quickly became clear to the committee that it's a very controversial matter. There's a lot of dispute, and there was a lot of controversy and dispute around the extent to which consultation had taken place. The committee was unable to finish processing this piece of legislation, and it lapsed at the end of the third parliament. Then in the fourth parliament, it was revived, and the minister said it was revived because at the stage it was that the third parliament left off. So what this particular our present committee did, it held briefings on the bill, and once it had heard the briefing, it realised that it wouldn't be able to process the bill at the time. By the end of the year, by the 30th of December 2009. So, it decided that state was the only course that it had was to extend the given deadlines for another year, which is why we have this bill in front of us. And quite simply, all the bill does is replace the 30th December 2009 with 30th December 2010, giving Parliament another year to process the legislation. And then the second clause is the commencement date, and it would commence on the 29th of December 2009. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ma'am. Honorable members, can you engage with the briefing? Honorable Bloom.
Chairperson, it's just clarity. The presenter is the content advisor of the committee, the portfolio committee, that's on the national level. Who is supposed to come and brief us on the bill?
Honorable Bloom, I'm being advised that the bill was introduced by the portfolio committee. So it is proper that they do the briefing to the committee. Do you want to respond to me?
No, the reference comes to add that the department did have a look at the bond. So they did have a look at this one to rent ahead. So they are aware of this.
Honorable Matiza?
Chair, I think once more I would agree with Member Bloom. You see, because the problem we're faced with here is one house undermining the other house. And we're Parliament, all of us. Whilst we note that it's only 11th hour, and we need to go through, we'll agree that because there's not much content in changing, it's just dates. We'll agree with that process. But in future, we'll ask the honourable person that has been sent here not to even brief us, so that the correct people must come here and brief us, so that they stop this undermining of this particular house. Thank you.
Yeah, we know that. Honorable Mokobi?
I'm confused. I think the content is no problem. The problem is the procedure. The way we have been briefed. Content advice I cannot present. It can be. It should be the department, at least. The higher official. Content advice, I must advise for content. Really. Even if it's
Can they clarify as further, honorable members?
Just to say that my colleague indicated that this bill was initiated by the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development. The Department of Justice has got no role to play because it's a parliamentary bill. So they don't bring it forward the committee because it doesn't come from them. It comes from Parliament.
No,
Chair, the chairperson of that committee was supposed to come and brief us, not staff. You see, and that's the point we're raising here. And that's what we're trying to clarify here is undermining of another committee or another house. And that's the situation. We would not agree with staff to come and explain on behalf of politicians here. You see, it's not their role. It's not their duty. Politicians must come and explain. Why are they doing that?
Honorable Watson, Honorable Bloom.
Now, Chair, I think this is it's a pity that we're at this late hour. Otherwise, I would have suggested the rejection. And because quite correctly, we are the Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Development. We're not the Select Committee on the Portfolio Committee. And the department should at all times be part of us and correctly. The most senior person involved should brief us. If it is a committee vote, then the chairperson should be leading us quite correctly. And we find this so often that the departments and our parliament is following suit, sending junior people. And I don't for 1 minute doubt our dear lady's qualifications and knowledge of the subject matter. But it's as the honourable before me said, it's a matter of procedure. And principle. We must stop the ball from rolling and gathering moss, which indicates that the NCOP is just another nuisance in the way of the NA. That must be stopped.
Honorable Bloom.
Jefferson, you see, if we are going to ask questions, you see, some of the members are saying that the department were also supposed to be here. If we are asking questions in the bill, legal questions, they are presenting the bill to us. The Portfolio Committee that and the National Assembly have said they must come. But the Department of Justice was supposed to be here to answer some of our questions. in this bill. Now, you see, Chairperson, and I'm happy that most of the members have expressed this, we must not allow a situation, we are 6 months old now, we must not allow a situation where people are going to undermine the NCOP and thinking that in few hours, you see, we are expected to put a rubber stamp onto this thing for it to pass through that house without us applying our minds properly and interrogating this whole thing. We must not do that. I will put my party's position when it comes to vote. Thanks, Chair.
Any other comment?
Yeah, I think it's high time that the NCOP is respected. And we can postpone that need for respect. We postpone this bill for them to respect us. I would suggest that we postpone it. At least there will be a lesson learned.
Chair, I think I'm going to support my colleague that if they think they will come back next year and deal with this particular matter, we're not going to support this particular process. Thank you.
Honourable members, your comments should also reflect the impact. What will be the impact of us not supporting the bill? Honourable Chani, Honourable Blue.
No, Chair, you are right. In fact, I'm actually one to agree with our honourable members only insofar as their comments are concerned regarding the need for us to guard against being undermined by another house. But also would appeal that the amendment proposed, it's just merely the seeking to allow for that 1 month extension in light of the reasons provided advance and this being the last day of this house, if the NA having dealt with the matter and closed last week, I should think that we should record our views as expressed, that in future we will not allow to be undermined by the National Assembly. And such particular views should be clearly communicated to the chairperson of this particular portfolio committee. But insofar as the proposed amendments are concerned, that we accept and support the amendment. I'm pleading with members.
Honourable Bloom, Honourable Nzimande, I noted you. Honourable Nzimande and Honourable Matila and Hode.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You see, for the very same reason that Mr. Chan is putting forward, that is the last day of us. In fact, it's few hours before we must go into the chamber to go and vote on this. It's not the last day, it's few hours before we are going into the chamber. It's totally not correct and unacceptable that we must be regarded as rubber stamps of Parliament. That's why people out there are not seeing the NCOP as part and parcel of Parliament. They see it as something else. Now, I support my two colleagues that we must, from now, from today, make a very strong statement to say, no, we are not going to accept that. We are not rubber stamps. We are also elected by the people out there. Nobody have done us a favor to be here.
Honorable Zimande, Dr. Chairperson, I am also a man in the left, but for this time I'm in the future, and beg you, my colleagues, to say that the notice chair in terms of this this legislation has been to we've had the notice that the NA is dealing with the matter, and they've only put it in the House last week according to the program, and only last week, Chair. So between last week and today, I think it's 2 days or 3 days, working days. Therefore, having had the notice and having and them having been squashed into a program, having to deal with this thing last week, and looking into the program next year, Chair, that next year the structure of the program is such that we might not have the time for the whole of February. So it means if we take this decision now of not dealing with this, we will not have it into the NCOP until March or so. So I really expect I was happy when Honorable Watson was saying that he would not really call for a stop. So I really beg for indulgence, Chair, that let's make the strongest statements, and I would make commitments, Chair, as well, that we will take the matter to the ANC study group. The comment is robust, as raw as they are, Chair, and we'll sort that at the whip, Chair. I think something slipped out in that regard. Thanks, Chair.
Chair. Honourable members, I'm tempted not to give you to comment. I think let us not be emotional. Let us not be emotional. I have also been made aware that the department is dealing with this bill. That there is concern. Is here not to deal with this bill, but he is from the department. If there are any issues that members want to raise regarding the bill, I think it will be proper that we allow members to raise those issues and that they should respond. I am aware of the dissatisfaction raised by members, and I agree with you that we must not be undermined. And as the Honorable Zimande have said, we will raise the issue very much strongly, and it is about the internal parliamentary processes. We will deal with it at that level. Let us not allow our emotions not to see the broader picture of transforming some of the laws that needs to be transformed. Honorable Matida, I hope that you are not going to raise the issue again, because I'm pushing you, honorable members, with all respect, to say let us support the bill.
Yeah. Honorable Chair, I like to support your view.
I object. Honorable member,
I object not on the basis of emotion. You would see that I'm very calm and sober. Just I'm object on the basis of procedure and rationale. So that indeed, when you want to feel that an arsenal will hit the target, this is the time. That we need to do that. I really object that we don't proceed.
Yeah.
the same with me, Chairperson, and I will raise it even in the chamber. I will support the bill whose attitude as a proven in the undermining of the committee. That is our point. And that will be Cook's point. That the undermining, we want the process to. I don't have anything against the bill. We will support the bill.
I've just spoken to my colleague that will support the bill, but you definitely are going to raise it in the House.
I'm very persuaded.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Do you still want to comment?
Actually, just a small issue. Just to say that one of the reasons why, you know, it's parliamentary staff.
Chair, order. The matter is
it's about that issue. Can you leave it now?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, you are concern has been noted, and I think at the appropriate level they will be raised. And the decision of the committee for now is that the bill is being supported. Thank you very much. Can we now deal with the issue of the draft notice on schedule in terms of Section 2 of the judges' remuneration and immediately thereafter on the magistrate's remuneration? Over to you. For a moment. Yes, we have to. Any second?
5 seconds.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Of Justice and Cultural Development. I've came here to brief the honourable members of the matters beforehand relating to the notice on the remuneration of judges and magistrates. I'll be brief. There are just few points that I wanted to bring to the attention of the honourable members. In terms of the condition of remuneration of judges act, and in terms I request to deal with them simultaneously, the two notices, because they are the same. Judges and magistrates are dealt with by two separate legislations. Judges are dealt with by the remuneration of conditions and remuneration of judges act of 2001. Magistrates are dealt with in terms of Section 12 of the Magistrates Court Act, number 32 of 1944. And both legislations basically provide that the president will determine the salaries of judges in respect of judges and will determine the salaries of magistrates in respect of magistrates after after consultation with the Independent Commission on the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers. The processes of consultation have taken place. There was a recommendation that was submitted to the president after the IRC had met, that it consulted with the Minister for Justice and Cultural Development. And therefore, the notices that are here are the culmination of the consultation processes. In terms of the law, therefore, is that the president, after the Parliament has approved the notices, then will basically cause the notices to be published, which means that they will then be implemented. This dispensation in law is basically intended to safeguard the independence of the judiciary. As we all know, justice has nothing to do with science of judicial with judges. We only implement the system. Once Parliament is approved, the president's notice, we put them in the system, then we process the payment, etc. We cannot determine or cut or whatever, etc. So it should basically be observed that it's in the spirit of judge and magistrate that the laws basically require Parliament to approve the determination by the president to ensure and safeguard that kind of independence. Now, it's a matter of common knowledge that from the 8% which was recommended by the IRC, the president has approved 7% across the board for all public office bearers, etc. So these two notices reflect the 7% as approved by the president. So should this house approve the notice, then it will require the department to implement the system so that the payments are taking effect as determined by the notices. In respect of magistrates, there are two points I wanted to raise for the attention of the committee, and they are in the notice here. The notice by the president on the last page provides a proviso that the total an application, it provides that any reference to magistrates in the notice refers to all ranks of magistrates who have been permanently appointed in terms of the Section 9(1) of the Military Court Act, read with Section 10 of the Act, including a magistrate serving his or her professional period. The total remuneration package shall therefore not be applicable to a magistrate who is not permanently appointed. Why the necessity for this provision is that from time to time, the instances where magistrates are appointed for a short term. The law allows that the minister may appoint on acting basis magistrates for 3 months at a time. And that's where we basically make sure that we deal with the backlog, case backlog, or deal with instances where magistrates are not able to deal with the matter, either by way of suspension or leave, etc. And what brought this amendment to case that you will find that if the total remuneration is applicable, you appoint a magistrate on a team basis for 3 months, and based on that, the magistrate may even come and request to go and leave. While the very same purpose, why we've asked for an acting appointment to make sure that the magistrate is able to deal with the court while the other one is on leave. So you find two of them are on leave because the other one, in terms of the legislation, says for every month you work, you are entitled to 2.5 days, etc. So you find that you've got that challenge. But secondly, you find that in terms of benefits, because the benefits in terms of car allowances, in terms of pension, in terms of all these other service benefits are intended for permanent magistrates, it's very difficult to calculate or to implement the system. You cannot, from a person who's going to come to work for 5 days or for 2 days, etc., try to work on a prorata percentage of what would the car allowance would pay to add that, etc. Now, they raise this as well. In fact, most of them say, if I've been appointed acting magistrate, you must give me a car or pay me for the car, etc. And we would not be able to have that kind of dispensation. So we felt it necessary that we advise the president to provide expressly in the notice that they are only paid a salary for 8 days that they come to work, and they are paid the same salary for magistrates, but it does not include the package, the list, whatever. That's the purpose. And the last point I want to raise in terms of magistrates is that we had a recommendation which was made by the IRC, which included a category of presiding officers who are not magistrates, and those are the divorce court presidents and the divorce court presiding officer. I'm raising this point because this point is currently before the court. It's a matter that the minister has been cited to, which is taking place at the High Court. In terms of the law, presiding officers and regional court and divorce court presidents are deemed to be regional magistrates. So in law, we have no separate category of occupational class that we call divorce court clearing officers or divorce court presidents. They are all classified as a regional magistrate, and the law is explicit. The law says every person who presides in a divorce court is deemed to be a regional magistrate, and therefore there's no need to have a separate determination for a post class which is already covered for in-law, which is non-existent. So the IRC had made those additional post class in their recommendation, and we recommended to the president, who agreed to the process, that the law as it stands make it unnecessary for the post class to be reflected. And we also highlighted that the matter is sub judice, and the minister and the courts will basically rule on the matter. So we'll ask the House basically to approve the notice as it stands, with the exclusion of those categories which have been put in the recommendation which was submitted to Parliament, to the President and also Parliament earlier. Those are the points I wanted to bring to the attention of the honourable members of the House, and I'll be available to can deal with whatever concerns or whatever clarification that the honourable members may require on this brief presentation. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we can engage with the Honourable Matilda, Honourable Watson.
Chair, just one slight clarity. I'm aware of a situation where we were dealing with a matter where you have a magistrate acting for more than 12 months. You see? Now, where do you place that person? Because I'm worried that I agree in terms of what the explanation you have given us. No? But where you have a person that acts for more than 12 months and deny that person the benefits that everybody else is getting is a problem. And in most cases, You find out that it is blacklist prisoners and suffering. You see? Because they are now coming into the system and they are appointed as acting people, and you are not giving them the necessary benefits because you don't want to appoint immediately. We are aware that you appoint magistrates at least once a year. You are not doing it frequently, which is also another problem. How do you explain that situation?
I was going to propose adoption. I didn't know that we now are going to debate the categories of magistrates. To me, the matter is cut and dried. The president has expressed himself on the subject, and the differentiation between magistrates acting or not is not subject matter of the salary increase and should be debated elsewhere. So I propose adoption of the report as presented to us. Tate, can you respond before we adopt?
Yes. In terms of the law, you cannot appoint a magistrate for 12 months. If a magistrate works for 12 months, it means that magistrates have got 4 appointments of 3 months at a time. The law does not allow for 12 months. In fact, that was the purpose that it was intended, so that the post must be filled as soon as possible and permanently. And the idea is that you'll always draw an acting magistrate from the profession, from whatever, etc. So that circumstance does not arise, except those ones who are on probation, for which you are covered when they're not here. That's why we say excluding those on a 12-month probation. All other magistrates are appointed for 3 months at a time.
Any seconder for the proposal?
Seconded.
Hello, Matilda. Do you still want to...
No, Chair, I agree with you, Honourable Watson. We want to second. We agree with that situation. I'm saying there's a matter before us which we are going to deal with. No, Damase has been an acting magistrate for the last 7 years, which is a problem. How do you deal with that situation in terms of benefits? You know, now it's before us, and she's still called an acting magistrate, which is a problem. How do you deal with it?
In South Africa, it's a reality that this thing is happening. I personally am visiting a lot of places, and you find that there is an acting for 3-4 years, an acting magistrate. When you ask this person, he's saying, no, I don't know why are they not appointing. It's a reality. That situation is there in South Africa.
Do you want to comment on that, Dr. Kusa?
I don't have comment now, but we can look at those specific matters. The law don't allow that. Judicial appointment is only for 3 months. If you act for the judicial appointment, the matters before you are not valid. But you follow up on the matters. There are matters where I know that the magistrate has been on probation for 7 years. If you're on probation for 3 years, the package covers you. It's only that the minister has not confirmed your appointment. But if you are asked to come to act on the basis of a vacancy which exists, or on a project of case documents, the law doesn't allow a 12-month, a more than 3 months appointment. But that will verify those matters and I'll engage with the honorable members to get to the root of the matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And that the honorable member of the committee adopts both notices as proposed. Thank you very much. Yes.
The adoption of the reports.
Yes. Can we deal with the honourable members, can we deal with the report of magistrates in Damascus? Do you have the documents with you, honourable members? Members can peruse the report. Have you finished, honourable members?
Not yet, but in 5 minutes, then we will be finished. You see, that's why you are making a phone call.
Honourable Group.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Can we ask questions?
Yes.
Chairperson, I see that the recommendation here is that the council must not confirm the provisional suspension of the person, magistrate Ntamazi. What is the reason for that? Unfortunately, I was not present at the briefing of the commission. But can you, for me to vote on this and to say yes, can you please tell me what is the reason? Because she was suspended in the first place, and now, and I remember that the committee itself supported this suspension. But why? No, it's the same case. We discussed it.
The one we supported was that of Oliphant and Duma of Safrinet.
Shepherdson, I see Louis coming up. Let me understand. Is it this one who was touching the bounds and
That's one of Safrinet.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay.
Honorable Matila?
No, Chair, I think we will agree to support the recommendation stated that she not be suspended, but also in terms of the issues raised here, that this committee actually moves in to investigate the issues at the Pretoria Magistrates Court and the Commission itself. Because I think there are serious problems with the Magistrates Commission and issues that are raised at the Pretoria Magistrates Court. Yeah, they must be seriously investigated, Chair.
Commissioner?
Chair, I wanted to support, because if you check paragraph 5 and 6, you check the issue of Pretoria, it's so complex in such a way that it needs our special intervention. Thanks.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to raise that on the basis of the studies to get insight, let's support the recommendation. Honorable Watson?
I also have no problem. I just wonder, do we know what now, if there's been an outcome into the misconduct disciplinary inquiry internally? Has that been, what is happening there? If I could just, yeah.
Chair, I think there are a lot of problems here, because yesterday I received a phone call on my way to Cape Town from one of the magistrates in Pretoria, where they are trying to charge her again. You know, I think the procedures were not followed properly. Now they are trying to charge her again now, you know, which is the problem. That's why I'm saying I think it is important to investigate the entire Pretoria Magistrates Court properly, because there are serious problems, but also the commission itself. Because the head of the Pretoria Magistrates Court is also a member of the commission, because he was the person who went to the Eastern Cape, you know, to deal with a matter of where we agree, the one that dealt with the bumps of people. Yeah. It's an Indian person. I just can't remember his name.
No, it's not an Indian. It's one guy who was touching bumps and everything.
No, I'm saying the head of Pretoria. It's an Indian
group.
Chairperson, I don't know if any of the members might assist. You see, I might be confused between this magistrate commission. I understand it to be a commission where we also sit, or something different. And maybe what's in my might then say it's something that the NCOP is represented and the parliament is represented. So I would be a bit cautious, Chair, to think that we have an independent, free oversight role as the committee per se over the magistrate commission. I just need to highlight that, because that might also cause us technical problems in some
in us arriving into certain decisions and overriding, or where there were powers of overriding what is being recommended by the Magistrate Commission, because we must understand perhaps that this thing is not recommended by officials. We may, but it doesn't necessarily rule out the possibility of interacting with what the Commission itself is recommending, because we do have the right to do so. But in essence, if we want to then take a decision here that says we're going to investigate, what are we doing? Are we not investigating the Commission's work? Are we going to now start dealing with the cases of each magistrate? So I think we're in a dicey situation, Chair, and we need to take note of that and perhaps go back and get some advice on some of these matters.
Thank you. Honorable Matila, Honorable Bloom, Honorable Watson, and Honorable Chan.
Chair, if the Select Committee in the National House took the same view, it means there's something wrong with the Magistrates Commission. Because if the Select Committee did not agree with what the Commission was saying in the National Assembly, and we take the same, it then tells you that there's something wrong. And let us look at what is wrong with that particular commission. And that's what we're saying. Because it's our duty, it's our role to oversee that things go smoothly in the commission itself. You see, if we don't do that, we'll be sitting with a lot of problems coming here. They are being rejected, and we're not looking at what is wrong in the commission itself. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Blue.
Yes, Chairperson. You see, our oversight role is to check each and everything that has to do with government. And when we are even on recess, we must go to this magistrate court and sit there and listen to us. That's our duty. And report back to the committee. That is what. We are not going to interfere in anybody's business, but we are public representatives. And the public are expecting from us to check even this madam here. We must do that.
Honorable Watson,
I want to agree with Honorable Zamandi that we must. This is a commission appointed by us party, because we have members serving on it. But I don't think we are saying we're going to investigate 10%. What we're saying in section 6. Is that the Select Committee intends to engage more closely with the Magistrates Commission to better understand itself, as well as the systematic challenges facing our judicial system and possible solutions to this. It would be particularly interested in the Commission's views on whether it has mediatory or conciliatory role in matters such as these. It urges the Commission to explore the possibility in this particular matter. Now, maybe that last sentence is a bit problematic, because now we're telling them what to do. Well, we are saying we want to go and interact with them. But overall, I think there's no problem. The mere fact that this inquiry, that they've briefed us on, that there's not been an outcome on it, also says to me that there's something wrong somewhere. So I think we can adopt this report and as a matter of interest, start the interaction process with the Commission and do the oversight visits that the members are referring to. Chair, while I've got the floor, I know I'm now a bit out of order, but on the point that Honourable Bloom raised, the fact that we should go and visit magistrates' courts as part of this committee, you always have a problem when you get to these officials who glare at you as if you're something that the dog's brought in. We need proper identification. And then you hold out your parliamentary gold card, which is really only a permit to come in here. What we did in the previous committee under your predecessor, Ho Jing Kwan, is he got permission with the from Parliament and the Justice Cluster to produce a special card with each of our photos on it, the Select Committee on the name of the Select Committee, I've got mine, I can show you, and stating that this is a Member of Parliament with a police badge even on it. And with that, you could enter and show, look, here I am. I'm authorized to come in and visit you and do oversight work. And I really want to suggest that we investigate the possibility of bringing that back because it gives us that little bit of a muscle. I'm sure we've got money in the budget to do that.
Okay. That was noted, honorable member. Honorable Bloom.
No, Chairperson, you see, that's official visit. You must do unannounced visits. Then you are going to get a lot of... that people don't know you, that you are a member of parliament. Then you will get the true sense of what is going on in court. You are sitting there and listening how the magistrate is talking or the prosecutor is talking. Oh, yes. No, that's the reason.
Can you move for the adoption of the report on all members? And second that, thank you very much. The report has been adopted. Thank you very much, Patu. Can we have the Department of Defense?
Time frames, because we've got to prepare for a very long debate this afternoon. I'm going to have to ask to be excused very soon. And have we got water? Yeah. Coffee and tea is also very important.
How long is your briefing going to take?
Honorable Chair, we can make a presentation for close to an hour. Or how much time does the Honorable Chair and the
Committee have? It is my 12 o'clock. There is a plenary at 2, and I don't know which members should be released and make some preparations for the plenary. But you can continue. Any member who must go and prepare for the plenary can just leave. Honorable Patila?
Okay, I wanted to suggest that it will be proper for all members to be here if they can summarize, because we are still going to read the documents, isn't it? And so that if there are issues that we want to raise in that 30 minutes, we can deal with questions and everything else. Yeah.
And I will go.
Yeah. I will raise again a problem, Chairperson. You see, defense is a very important department in any country. You see, if we are going to treat defense like this, and I don't know who has drawn up the program and whatever, but we must have enough time. You see, the same with me, I must also leave to prepare a debate and a speech. But you see, the program, we can't blame them now. We must treat defense very serious. And I hear what my comrade is saying, that's right, to summarize. But we won't have time to interrogate this report and ask relevant questions. It's not fair. And I repeat, defense is the most senior department in government.
What do you suggest we do, honorable member, so that we do justice to the presentation?
Let them brief us, Chairperson. We'll see how far we go. But I can tell you now, we won't have time to interrogate, to ask questions and whatever. We won't.
Honorable Martin? You see, the problem is, Chair, that the leadership in the House has now condensed a lot of work into today. We have questions by several ministers that need to be prepared. We can't just go in there like cattle. And there's all these reports and debates. And then there's still the budget, the medium-term budget proposals that we have to vote on, each one of them, I think 33. And it needs preparation. Now, most of this was only finalized this morning in the program committee. And as we sit here, we have finalized something like 6 items on the agenda. And really, I'll sit here with half an ear.
Commissioner? Chair, what are we doing tomorrow? If there's time, then we engage with them for 3 hours, 4, 5, you know?
No, Chair, you see, it's a pity that the Secretary and yourself, maybe, or ourselves, could not have picked this up earlier. Because if we had picked it up last week, we would have communicated with the department not to come. But we are in this situation not because of our own making. All of us knew that the program will run until Thursday. And only on Friday, we are all advised that Thursday plenary is brought to today, and they have condensed everything in today. There are so many debate statements, everything. So, quite frankly, if you are to allow those who are supposed to go and prepare, all of us are going to leave here. You will be left alone. And you also have to go and prepare, I'm sure, because you are on the speaker list. So, well, I don't know. Because, correctly so, even if we say the department should brief us, we won't be listening with both ears, honestly speaking. It will be like just satisfying or avoiding to have been contributed to what would be called a wasteful expenditure. But the truth of the matter is that we are not going to be doing justice. And the best way to do is to do what we are going to do now, and just apologize to the department and maybe reschedule this, because there are no pressures in terms of the report that will come out of this for this afternoon session, and maybe do it as part of our first meetings in the coming year, or if members are still available this week, maybe Thursday, we can deal with it on Thursday. But I know most members immediately after tomorrow's workshops and stuff, they will be leaving.
The workshop is cancelled. The parliament is closing today.
You've got the power to guide us on this one, Chair.
Honorable Blue.
I propose that we have this meeting tomorrow morning at 9. That's my firm proposal. Tomorrow morning at 9.
Commissioner,
I propose that what are we doing tomorrow, then I support the 9 o'clock tomorrow.
That's also take into consideration the fact that the
the secretary will be available on Monday. We don't know his commitments for tomorrow. Will he be available for them too?
Chair, the challenge of tomorrow is that we are in session with your sister committee at 11. So if we start at 9, we would need to be done at 11. The alternative that we could do is to make a presentation now until we adjourn at 1300 and then finish off then from 9 to 11 tomorrow, subject to your ruling and the members' availability.
Honorable Mokhobi and Honorable Lubu.
You know, if we are going to force things, we'll be sitting here, but we won't deliver in terms of this report really. We won't deliver. Already, we are beginning to have a divided attention, preparing for plenary, and also making sure that we are committed to this thing. If indeed tomorrow we can have an opening, let's expect tomorrow, if we can have that. If they have a sister meeting at 11 until when? Until 1 o'clock. We can sacrifice and start at 2 o'clock.
Now, members, let's meet tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Sorry that we apologize for the inconvenience. But I think we'll be here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. 9 to 11. So that's the 11 o'clock we go to portfolio committee. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.